Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr, and you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artist this week from England, Emily Ferris. Emily, welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Yes, thanks for doing this. We've been struggling to get this together for some time. It's great.
Yeah. No, it's been, you've been really good though. Yeah, I'm really glad we finally organized it, and it's nice to talk to you as well.
Yes. The burning question, do you have any more bumblebee kits available?
No, yeah. Not at the minute. No. But they do sell out pretty quickly, usually. Well, are you trying to get one, Gary?
No, I was just confident that was the answer, that no, you were all out. I was pretty sure. That's got to be incredibly gratifying to have something like that. You know, not a really complex design, not a big one, but to have it be so well received, that's just got to feel really good.
It is. I literally cry like every time they sell out. I don't know. When they sell out, I feel like, I don't know, this rush of happiness. And more than that is when I get the reviews, when they come back and people are just saying, wow, Emily, I can really see the effort you put into this. Some person the other day, they wrote a review being like, wow, I can finally see why they sell out so quickly. And that was really nice. But again, that made me cry too.
Yeah.
It's just nice to be appreciated, isn't it?
Well, yeah, exactly. But also it's your art.
And
to have people say, I want to do that. I want to have a piece of that. That's just kind of special to have that happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does feel special. I feel really lucky that I even have people interested in looking and buying them or just supporting me in any way as well, especially through Instagram.
Yes. So. Yeah, watching your Instagram, watching you put those packages together on your bed.
it takes forever on my own as well. Hopefully one day I'll have a house and I'll have a studio where I can not work in my bedroom, but that'll do for now.
Yeah. Well, it's a good big surface. It works.
Okay. Exactly. Okay.
The other part, I'm so impressed. Every designer makes an effort to make a nice presentation when they sell a kit. You know, everyone does in one way or another, but you really do put together a nice package. I mean, it's a nice presentation and I look at that and of course you've got a graphic arts background and you really apply it, but you can really, there's just a real effort there that makes a beautiful package. And I'm sure that that's as much the thrill of receiving and opening for people as it is doing the art. But I applaud you for that. It really looks nice.
Oh my God. No, you're going to make me cry now.
No.
That's so nice. Thank you for noticing. I wanted it to be something that I would want to buy. Like if I saw it, it's what I would want if I was starting needle painting for the first time, embroidery for the first time. I'd want it to be, just get the person really excited about starting, because, getting them pumped, getting them like, I'm excited to do it when it comes. And that was kind of my thought process, I guess.
Well, it works because when you get down to it, it's a needle, a few skeins of DMC floss, and a piece of ground cloth and a hoop. And yet you make it an event it's just really nice. And it's really nice to see you apply your graphic arts talents to make that happen and make a full package. So I just comment that it's just fun to see that and see the care that goes into it. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Cause designing, it's like, I like doing the sleeve. I wanted it to be, I wanted it to have a kind of timeless touch to it because I just love that. That's what I love about embroidery as well, the timelessness of it. You could be from any time, any era, and it's lovely. And I really wanted to show that with the design and the packaging and kind of give embroidery the credit of like how it feels, I guess, to embroider.
Yeah.
And show that with the design and with the booklet as well, designing that. I just wanted it to be really clear and concise and to the point. I really tried to imagine what it would be like, Emily in 2013, starting embroidery for the first time, opening the booklet, like trying to put myself in those shoes of a complete beginner, basically.
How am
and
I going to
talking to,
ever get
yes.
from this point to this point? Yeah.
Exactly. And I thought I wanted it to be not so like super professional and scary as well. I wanted it to be like what I would make if my friend was like, "Hey, Emily, you embroider, could you put together like a little kit for me?" Like what I would make as a gift for a friend. And I wanted to write it as if I was talking to a friend as well and just,
Yeah,
yeah, just encourage them.
isn't that the hard spot
Yeah.
is to not make it overwhelming, make it approachable?
Yes, definitely. Because I get a lot of messages from people going, "Oh, I'll never get this good. I don't know how you do it. I've been blah blah blah." So they don't start because it's quite intimidating, isn't it? Starting a new project, starting a new hobby, and I just want to make it clear it is accessible and that you are capable of doing it, and you are capable of doing it. And I know this because I did it, and I had no clue how to embroider at all. So that's why I just want to make it clear to them that I have every faith in whoever picks up my kit that they can do it. Like anyone, I'm just like, "You've got this. Don't worry. You can do it." So I try and show that however I can and have faith,
Yeah.
basically.
Well, 'cause it is. I mean, when you look at techniques such as cross stitch, where, okay,
Yes.
make X's and use this grid.
Yeah.
Okay, that, people can grasp that. But then when you go to surface embroidery and particularly needle painting, where, all right, here's basically a blank slate. Now you'd use printed patterns or the pattern printed on ground cloth. So
Yeah.
there are some borders there, some containment, but still it's a very free form technique. And
Yes.
that in itself can be incredibly intimidating for people.
Exactly. I think it's so nice to have a set of rules to follow when you're first starting, which is why I take step-by-step photos of every stage of the process. And again, I try and write it in a really clear and concise way to the point where, you don't know any of the embroidery terms, you don't know all of the phrases. So I just try to make it really clear, like get your needle, stick it in there and take it out there and just try and be really to the point. And so that they can just, in a way, it's kind of like you have cross stitch because there's rules to follow because you can just read the instructions. I kind of don't leave them alone at any point with the booklet. Then but they can if they want, like they're fully welcome. I highly encourage them to go free and go with what they wanted. But I think it's nice when you're first starting to follow the rules for at least the first few times when you're embroidering.
Right, yeah,
It's
yeah.
like a recipe, when you're cooking, right? And you're like, "Oh, I'm gonna try this new recipe," and you try it and you follow the recipe to the T, like to the book. And but then the next time you kind of you got a feel for it, haven't you? You're still following the recipe. But you're a bit more confident now. Then by the time, what, the fourth, fifth time, you don't need the recipe no more. You've got it memorized and you're comfortable. And that's how I kind of like to think of my instructions. It's more like a recipe that you follow, then over time you're going to
Yeah.
get more confident. Does
Oh,
that
sure. No,
make
my
sense? Am
wife is an excellent cook, and whenever
Yeah.
she tries a new recipe, that's her approach,
Yeah.
is the first time, yeah, to the T, and
Yeah.
then the next time, then she starts, that's when she starts modifying. And
Exactly.
usually by the third or fourth time, then she has it the way she wants it. And then yeah, it's a little more of this, a little less of that, and yeah, it comes out, but that's the creative part. But yeah, you have to start somewhere. You have to build a foundation somewhere. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, 2013. So in relative terms, you're a newcomer to needlework, but
Yeah.
obviously have an art background. What got you started doing this and to dive in so far that you're successfully selling kits 8 years later?
So I think I just moved to a city from a village for the first time, and I was used to the countryside life, and it was all really slow and lovely, and you just take your time. Then I'd moved to a city for university, and it was all quite fast-paced, and I don't know, I was really missing being in the countryside and missing just feeling connected to the world and not deadlines for university, but I just missed feeling kind of like alive, I guess. Oh God, that sounds sad. But anyway, and then I also I love the romanticism of embroidery. Like, you'd see you'd see old pictures of women embroidering by windows, like paintings, and I'd be like, you know what, that just looks cool. Like, that could be, that's a bit of me. Like, I can imagine myself doing that embroidering. And so it was a kind of combination of the two, like wanting to look for something that made me feel connected and slow and mindful. And also, I just like the idea of like, hey, I embroider, by the way. Like, I just think it's cool. It's just a little bit of that, like, hey, I'm doing this timeless technique that connects me to everyone in the past. How about you try? It was a bit like that, I guess.
So did you go buy a kit somewhere or just?
No. It was, I used an old pillowcase, some fabric, a hoop. I had no idea how to put the hoop and the ring together. I just kind of hodgepodged it and made it up. And then I had like three colors to choose from, and it was like this dream catcher I just embroidered. I just made it up. I didn't know anything, but I didn't realize at the time it was actually just kind of straight stitches that I was doing. But I was kind of using my painting to help me with the thread. So, when I was doing the feathers of the dream catcher, I was kind of just trying to do the strokes of the floss direction, the same as what I would do with paint. You just
Oh.
angle the brush, and I realized I was doing that with the thread. By the way, I don't pronounce TH properly. I always say Fred, like F Fred. Anyway, that's irrelevant.
However, I get it. So that really then shows the tie to your art background then. So your mind just said, look, I can do brush strokes with thread here.
Yes, exactly. But it was like, in a way, I wasn't super thinking about it consciously at the time. It's only now when I look back, I realized that I was doing that, I guess. At the time, I was just loving the analogness of it, because I spent so much time doing photography and like graphic design. I'd kind of become this kind of digital artist in a way, in a digital world, and social media was really coming about and happening, because Instagram had only been out for 3 years at that point as well. And I really wanted something where it was like tactile and you felt it in your hands and it was physical. And I think that's why I liked embroidery, because you got to like actually touch the thread, and it was really relaxing. And I just became so addicted. I was like, I love this. I need more thread. Three colors is not enough.
Well, see, that's so interesting because I'm a magazine editor, and I remember the days when artists before computers. I mean, I'm old enough that we did my first few years. We did a typewriter was how our copy was handled was on typewriter.
Oh,
Well,
wow.
I could type so fast and so accurately then. Now I can type fast, but the delete key gets worn out, you know. But you know, our artists would have to create art. If it wasn't a photograph, they would have to create art. And I remember them working, and we had one artist who moonlighted with Bally to do to airbrush pinball table art. And he was brilliant at it, just absolutely brilliant. Of course, he's working for Bally, one of the biggest pinball manufacturers in the world, and so he had to be good. And then he started learning. Because then computers came along and graphic arts came along, computerized art. And so he had to switch over. And so you're at the other end of that spectrum where you learned everything digital. And that's interesting for you to say, to have a tactile feel for things. So you're at the other end of the spectrum where, all right, everything I do art-wise is digital other than painting. So now I would like something tactile. That's most interesting.
And it was comforting as well. Like, at school, I'd done a lot of drawing, and I'd done actual painting, like oil painting and stuff at school. But it always seemed to be the way that I always seemed to be drawn to digital art. And I still am, don't get me wrong. I love it. I love the digital world. I love photography still, and I love getting to design the booklets and use my design knowledge for that, but it is just so lovely to kind of feel like what you're touching is real and you made it. You put 20, 40 hours into something, and it's like a bit of your soul and your time and your life is in that. It's just lovely.
It's so neat to see that from the other end of this perspective. So do you still paint and draw, or do you prefer thread anymore?
Oh, I've become better at embroidering than I have with drawing. I seem to have this I can still draw, but it's like it really comes to life as soon as I start embroidering. It seems to be that that's my best skill at the moment. But I do like to paint just for fun, just for me, and the sketching, and it's still nice. 'Cause again, it's more real again, isn't it? But
Well, what is it about the thread? Is it the texture, the just the process that appeals to you and makes you want to go there? 'Cause it's interesting to have all of that art background and to find needle and thread as your way of expressing.
Oh, what is it? I don't know. I just seem to be good at it. Like it was like I did it and I was like, yes, this is me. This suits my personality. It suits just the way I am. And like the stuff I was making, I felt really proud to share it. And I don't know, it just turned out really good, I guess. I felt like I had accomplished something, so I was like, I should keep doing this.
You just made a whole lot of people really mad, you know.
Oh
It just came to me. I couldn't help it.
I do have some before photos so you can see my first embroidery compared to my newer ones, and you can see my needle paintings like really messy and kind of like rustic, I guess, compared to the how neat I am now. But I love both. They're both lovely in their own way, the rustic, messy way and the neat way as well.
Yeah, but that's part of it. I mean, at some point, the stuff that, anybody who's really good at what they do, the stuff that people never see, the pile is much higher than the stuff that they see, because that's all the work that gets you to have some proficiency. So was it from the first, when did needle painting come to be? Was that Obviously, it was fairly early on because your mind said, I got to be able to blend colors and create shading.
It was really early on because I didn't know. In a way, I was kind of a bit lazy because I was looking. I remember trying to look anyway because there wasn't. I remember Mary Corbet had her, I think, needle thread website, and that was probably one of the only things you could really find online. And then there was some YouTube videos, but there wasn't much you could find to learn. And I remember looking at the embroidery stitches, and I thought, that's a bit hard. And so I was like, I'm just going to keep doing what I did with this, like just keep doing this straight stitch over and over because it was a bit easier. I didn't have to bother learning all of the other ones, like bullion stitches. I'm not sure how to even say all of them, to be fair. So I stuck to my straight stitch and I ended up unknowingly using long and short stitch in my second embroidery of a butterfly.
Oh,
That was
wait,
my.
wait. So you didn't even know that that existed. You just kind
No,
of
because I was a bit lazy, you see. I was
Now
just like,
I'm mad.
I'm just gonna keep using this straight stitch over and over, and I'm just kind of again like using it like it was a paintbrush, and using the colours I had. I just used some rubbish floss at the beginning. It wasn't very good, but not recommend that. But yeah, I think I just went with the flow.
Okay. All right. Enough of you. That's it. No. Well, but it's interesting to hear that progression, because the true artist in you obviously got you through what is a big hurdle for most people, and you just saw it work and saw the ability to blend colors by just simply doing long and short stitch and changing colors. And okay. That's fun. No, that's fun that you can do that.
I just enjoyed it. There was no pressure because I was at uni and I was just enjoying it, and just I loved picking the colors. And I remember just finishing it and the butterfly looking quite realistic. And I remember thinking, damn, I made that out of thread and it looks like a real butterfly. Like I felt really proud of myself. And I think I posted it on Instagram because, you know, my friends at uni, they didn't have as much of an appreciation for it. Like, oh yeah, nice. It's kind of like, I was like, I made this out of like embroidery floss. And so I posted it on Instagram, and then people there had a lot more appreciation for it. And that's how I
Yes.
started posting on them. Or it'd be someone from America just being like, wow, you managed to do it. And I'm like, thank you, right? That was good, wasn't it? And it was kind of like this. And then I started being friends with more people on there. And that was how I kind of found my community online of us all appreciating each other's embroidery, basically.
My community is not in my dorm. It's out in the greater world, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. So then you obviously got that to go. So then is it all right now, what can I do with this? You start sketching out designs and saying, all right, now I've got a world to explore.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, what else can I do? I had so many ideas. It was just, I ended up kind of not being very good at doing my actual university course because I got so distracted by just I just embroidered all day. I'd be like, oh no, I've got a lecture at 9 a.m. Ah, oh, I'll just embroider. It'd be so bad. But you know, it's a good thing I did because then it's ended up becoming my job in a way. So yeah, luckily.
Yeah, I'll say if you're blowing off classes, yeah.
Yeah, don't copy me, guys. Don't do what I did. No, but I just, yeah, I just, that's what I ended up doing, basically.
So then talk about that transition. I assume you finished your university courses.
Yeah. So I went to uni because I really wanted to kind of direct music videos. I was really into photography. I wanted to do pretty much anything creative, you know, do prop design for films, make backdrops, be an animator, video editor, photography. I really loved it all. And that's what I went to uni to study. To it was media production, but I ended up just really loving embroidery, basically.
So
And I just kept.
is that what you did right out of uni? Is you, you did you even have a regular job, or did you just leap into this embroidery thing?
Yeah, so it was my second year of uni. I started embroidering. After, you know, the partying in the first year, I kind of slowed down and was just embroidering every day whilst everyone else was still partying. I'd be like, nah, I'm gonna stay in and watch TV and embroider, I think. And I think I was only 19 as well. But don't get me wrong, I like going out still, but I did love just staying at home and embroidering, and I would just embroider every day. I don't think there was a day I didn't pick it up and do a couple of hours. And then I graduated, and I was fortunate to go live with my mum and dad for a little bit to try and look for a graphic design job. And I had a graphic design job lined up, ready for me to go. I'd gone for the interview and I was going to do it. I'd learned to drive, you know, paid for my lessons, and I was ready to go. And then, so I didn't bother looking for any other jobs out of uni. Probably not the smartest. So I spent about 3 months. I was going to start in September, and I was wait up. So I just had a summer at my parents, and I just embroidered every day. I was like, yeah, I'm going to embroider until I start my job. And mum and dad let me live there for a while. That was nice of them. And then it got to September, and the people called me, and they were like, oh, the job's not there anymore. And I was
Oh.
like, oh, damn. And that was I was really scared then because I hadn't tried to get any other job, and I hadn't. Didn't have any other income, but it seemed to have all worked in my favor because during those 3 months, I started embroidering pet portraits. I embroidered this cat called Little Bub, who was a really famous Instagram cat that I really loved following. And so people started to message me and say, "Can I pay you to embroider my pet?" And I'd be like, "Well, I was just doing this for fun. You want to pay me?" I was like, okay. And I remember charging, God, it was ridiculous. I charged the smallest amount for how
Yeah.
much work I put in. But you don't know when you're first starting, do you? You don't know.
Right. Yeah. Your per hour
Yeah.
rate's a nickel an hour. Yeah.
It was literally terrible because I thought, oh, I feel bad for charging so much for doing something I love, which is ridiculous. you feel like you don't deserve it because you enjoy it. I don't know. I don't do that anymore. Don't worry. But yeah, that was my thought process. And then for 5 years, I just embroidered pet portraits then. I think it was 5 years. Solid 7 days every week. Commissions, a lot of people from America, mostly, which is lovely. And yeah, and I got to talk to so many people through that. And people would tell me their stories of their pets, which was quite cute. And again, I think that's what helped me improve my needle painting skills, because every pet was different and doing it every day. It's always good. The more you practice, the better you're going to get. And I just happened to be doing it 7 days a week. Yeah, that's kind of how that happened. Wasn't it?
Okay, so you get the shock of the job I'm counting on isn't there. I'm living with my parents. Yeah. I've got no income.
Yes.
And you were able to transition into and get enough income out of these pet portraits.
I was kind of lucky again.
Yeah.
It seems to be. So what happened was I had a boyfriend at the time, not with him anymore, but he was moving to another town to live with his brother. And his brother was like, oh, well, your girlfriend can come as well. You can both live in my spare room. And I thought, yes, get me. I probably should go and not live in my parents' anymore. Let's go live with your brother. And his brother only charged us something ridiculous, like only £40 a week to live there.
Mm.
And which is, I don't know how much that is in dollars or whatever, but it wasn't much. So I didn't need to make that much money to live, because I only needed to make enough so I had £40 a week to pay them and then enough for food. And that did me all right. And I was happy doing that because I got to embroider every day and I felt really free. And that was, for me, that's the best joy in life, is to have freedom, to have the freedom every day to do what you want with your time. And for me, getting to embroider every day was enough. You know, I didn't have enough to go on holidays or anything like that, but
right.
I had enough to wake up in the morning and not have a boss tell me what to do. And I was happy with that. Yeah. And then so I just did that for years until I've moved into my place now. I needed to make more money because the rent, I had to pay real rent now.
I was going to say, yeah, now you got to pay a real rate. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, I better actually charge more for my stuff. And that's how I ended up kind of thinking, oh, well, maybe I can start teaching people and share my love for embroidery with others. And at the same time, I can use my background in photography and I get to use all of my InDesign skills and kind of combine it all in one to create my online tutorials to share with everybody else. So it was kind of like a win-win. And it was something new because I've been doing the pet portraits for so long. I think I'd burnt myself out. As you can imagine, embroidering every day for like 6 hours every day, it would probably be.
Yeah, I can imagine burnout. Yeah.
So it was nice. I think it was one of the best things I ever did because it's so rewarding. Again, like getting the reviews, being like, thank you, Emily, for this pattern. Because of you, I was able to embroider this bee really realistically. And it, like, that makes me feel so good. And I really enjoy doing it. And I have more freedom for it as well. It all just worked out well. I think I worked hard, but also my circumstances were quite fortunate at the same time for my growth. That's how it all added up, basically.
As someone who's old enough to be your father, I feel for your parents going through that.
Oh, no, I didn't live with them for very long. I didn't. But yeah,
they must have just wondered, what is Emily doing?
Yeah, I think so. But they're so happy for me now. Bless them. I think it all worked out in the end, and they're really proud of what I've been able to do. And I think they, at the time, they were confused, like, Emily, why are you spending so much time embroidering? I was like, because I'm addicted. I love embroidery. Help. It soothes my soul. It's what I live for. And now, in a way, I'm really glad I got so addicted to it, and it's my job, and I feel so lucky to wake up and get to do what I do now. And
there must have been a real element of support from your parents to get through that, because, you know, standard, go through uni and get a real job. And so to be supportive of this path, that had to be there, or it would have been more difficult, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, they were supportive to a degree. I can be a bit, yeah. I think that's why it was good when I moved out, to be fair. I think then.
Okay. I got the picture. I got it.
Yeah, I think when I moved out and I was probably again, I just like to go with the flow, enjoy the day as it comes, and I just like to, yeah, enjoy the moment and be in the present, and yeah, I
Yep.
guess.
And I did have that question about burnout because stitching that
Yes.
much every day, at some point you're just going to run out of gas. And now I'm sure with your business, there's no way you can stitch that much every day. You have so many other things to
No.
do, yeah.
That's why it was good for me to start selling kits, because it's quite nice to wake up and it's a bit different having to pack it and assemble, and I have more variety with my day. Like, oh, I better do a photo shoot of the embroidery today. Oh, I better order the stock for it. And it feels a bit more like I'm actually working, because
Yeah.
again, when you're doing something you love for your job, it can burn you out. But it's kind of nice having more of a variety, and it feels like more now I can start embroidering for fun again, rather than just to like for commissions. It was like everything was a commission. And in a way, when I started, it was just I think 2 solid years of just doing it every day for pure fun, not having to make money from it. So I feel really grateful for the time I had to just be embroidering for the fun of it, because I could cry. Like,
Well, but
it
it gave
was,
you through good fortune, or I mean, to me, you make your own luck. I mean, you
yeah.
obviously were working at it, but it gave you a period of time to really hone your skills
Yeah.
before you started running a proper business.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Sometimes it doesn't even feel like I kind of became a business, because everything happened so slowly and organically. It's kind of like everything slowly fell into place. It's not like I've always had a plan. It just all kind of happens
Well,
with what I fancied at the time. I'm not that good at the business stuff, but I try and be people how you want to be treated and all of that. That's what
that's
I try and do.
that's 'cause that's the other thing is now as a business, you can't just sit and embroider all day, so you had to discipline yourself and put some structure to what you're doing, I'm sure.
I try anyway.
Okay.
I do try. Yeah, I'm probably still not the best at it, to be honest, but you do what you can. Again, I'm artist first, business. Again, it still feels weird saying I'm a business, but yeah, business,
You
I
are.
guess now.
You are. But I
I
mean,
am, I am.
even just the basics of ordering materials and making sure you have supplies in hand. And of course,
Yeah.
now with this pandemic, just getting materials is an ongoing war. And
Yes, it is.
yeah.
It is a bit difficult. I'm waiting on a supplier for some boxes for the kit so I can sell some more. Especially during lockdown. We're in a third lockdown in England as well. So
Yeah.
people want to have the kit so they can do it at home, bless them. And I want to make more, but I just haven't got the. But you work with what you got.
Right. Well, and that was just it. When you, I forget when you posted at some point where you'd sold out all your bees in less than an hour or something like that. And my thought was, oh, how frustrating that must be that you obviously, you wouldn't have said that if you had supplies. So, my first thought was, oh, that's got to be frustrating. I have more sales I can make, but I just can't get the supplies fast enough. And it's got to be maddening.
As well for me, I guess it could be maddening, but for me, I like to, again, it's all about having free time. Perhaps I should be more business minded and maybe realize, oh wow, they sell out. I should try and maybe get someone to help me and make more. I'm not very good at the business stuff. I always think I've got enough to pay my rent and I've got enough to wake up, and maybe in a couple of years I'll start, I'm only 26, so hope perhaps for I've got lots of time, I think, to become perhaps more business minded as the years go on. But yeah, I do like to I don't like to put too much pressure on myself and hustle, because there's so much pressure to like capitalize yourself and be like a money making machine. But
Right.
again, the greatest gift to me is time and freedom. There's nothing more wonderful if I get to have that.
And for an artist who can make money off of your art, there is that, there is that fine line of when do I flip into a complete business person and start to lose my art, you know?
Yes. Yeah. That's what I felt like a little bit when I was doing the pet portraits, I guess. I felt like I wasn't being me anymore. It felt like I was a pet portrait machine sometimes doing it. But, you know, I should have set boundaries. I should have let myself have weekends. And I let myself have weekends now. I'm good.
Okay.
You know, yeah, I'm a bit better now. And I look after myself more. But I don't regret all of the time I put into it, because that's what helped me hone my skills and build up an audience. You know, everything happens for a reason. But now I can afford to actually look after myself more and have more of a work-life balance.
Well, and that's important, because when it comes to burnout, if you don't have that, you're done. You're cooked.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that, but then again, you know, that period gave you that opportunity for those magical 10,000 hours or whatever it is to really become proficient, and you have to pay that price.
One
way or another, you have to do that. There's no getting around it. If you're truly gonna become talented and expert at what you're doing, you got to pay that price sooner or later. So talk about your designs. You really focus on nature. What is it? Is it what is the connection there? That, I mean, just about everything you do is an insect, a flower, or something.
Is it just, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, which, you know, is fine, but
Is
it just, you just have that love of nature, want to be in the country, and that's what you see?
I think that's definitely a big part of it. Again, I grew up in the countryside, and I think something that's always been really comforting for me is going for walks in the countryside. And how I decorate my home is I kind of like it to feel like the outside is inside. Mm-hmm. And so it made sense when I was embroidering to embroider the stuff that was outside as decor for my home, because it was that stuff that I found interesting and I found fascinating. And especially I like entomology as well. And, you know, when people have the taxidermy of the butterflies in the frames and stuff, I find that as decor and the study of the species really interesting. And it just looks good as well. I just love the look of it. And so, you know, I like having that that's hanging up on the wall, basically. It is so good when you embroider a butterfly for ages, when you spend like 20 hours looking at it. It's a really good way to get to know the species too. So you go outside, you're like, I know what you are, because I've spent 20 hours looking at you. And it's a great way to study it. And yeah, I think that's part of it. And I always go through phases. I think like one summer there was a couple of hedgehogs that were in the garden at my parents. I think they caught fly strike or something, which isn't a very nice thing for hedgehogs to get. And we rescued some of them. And then something like that will happen. And I'm like, oh my God, I love hedgehogs now. I need to embroider a hedgehog. So it'll just be something like that will just come up that will inspire me and want to make me embroider it, basically. Like a little fangirl.
Well, but you clearly have just a mental connection with nature, and recreating it is what works for you then. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just love all the colors, and it's just really comforting for me. Yeah.
Well, and that's the other part about nature. When you come to color, is the subtle shading, and then all of a sudden a dramatic change where there's a border, like an eyelet on a butterfly wing, or there really is a lot that goes on there if you take the time to study. You know, even a deer, the gradations of color in the fur.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's so much there.
It's great embroidering animals as well, because like the thread was like made to embroider animals, because it's like little strands of hair basically. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it worked so well for the pet portraits, and it just made them look, you get that sense of tactile realness that you don't always get with paintings, I guess, with it being thread, which is lovely.
Right. Yeah, there is that texture to it that you can't get it with anything else. Yeah. Do you look to other topics, or are you still, is your mind still so full of nature topics that it'll be a while?
I think I definitely want to when I have time. There's so many projects I want to do, but it is a lot of it is nature based. I would like to start embroidering some moss. I would like to try doing more like reptiles that aren't like fairy animals, I guess. I want to embroider people. I think that would be great. A really nice, fun project. I'd like to embroider like entire landscapes. So I usually end up embroidering objects that kind of fill the center of the hoop and there's like a white space around them. But I'd like to do like a big piece or embroider a tapestry or, yeah, there's too many things. Help!
Well, where is it? Where does your design work at this juncture? And maybe you don't know, where is it business for kits you can sell, designs you can sell, and then art that you do just for Emily?
There isn't much time to do art just to do for Emily,
Okay.
but that's why it's quite nice doing the patterns though, like to sell for designs, because unlike with the pet portraits, where I didn't always really get to choose what dog I got to do, with designing the tutorials, I get to choose what I would like to make. But in a way, it's not quite the same because you can't just relax as you're doing it. You have to think, right, what color am I using? You need to take photos as you do it and write the instructions down, which is a bit of a different process when you're just embroidering and experimenting with the colors for fun. You don't have to write anything down or take photos. You're just going with the flow and you don't have to think about it as much. So it's kind of like, but at the same time, I still do enjoy it because I am getting to embroider what I want. Does that make sense? I feel like I'm talking a
Yeah,
lot
no,
right
I tracked with
now.
you. I tracked with you. It's all right. Yeah.
So I get to for the I've got a couple of designs that you can. So I've got my bee, and that was great because I love bees, and I got to do it. But it was still creating that bee to sell was different because if I was embroidering just for myself, I would probably use 30, 40 colors. But when you're embroidering to teach someone, I try to stick to l less than. I don't know, 17 is probably the max I try and keep it down because if you're a beginner, I don't want to have to make them buy so many shades of floss as
Right,
well.
right.
And it can be over needle painting, one of the hardest things I think is blending all of the colors. So I think if you had to try and blend 30, 40 colors, it could be overwhelming
Yeah.
for a beginner. And it just takes up more time. And yeah,
Yeah, and that's
that's.
kind of the harsh reality of designing and building kits for
Yeah.
sale is you, there's limits there to what you can ask a customer to do.
Yes.
And so it would be that makes me interested now. If you were to do your bee, for instance, with unlimited colors, just how that,
Yeah.
yeah, that might be a fun exercise. Yeah.
That's what I want to do. I need to manage my time a bit better so I can. I don't think I've posted, I think for nearly 2 years now, something, or I haven't had the chance to embroider something where Emily, why am I speaking in third person? When I get to just completely let loose and just really go all in on an embroidering something. And I'm really looking forward. I should hopefully in spring, have more time to start making more projects and post more about just embroidery for me that's personal. Hopefully, if I'm good, if I be good and manage my time better,
Well,
come on,
and at
Emily.
some point that's healthy too, I think,
Yeah.
to stretch your own mind and stretch your own skills too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a benefit there. Now, the Inspirations magazine, the Helena Gummoth,
Yes.
beautiful piece. What a thrill that
Thank
must have
you.
been to be able to have that in a magazine of Inspiration stature.
I know. I was like, wow, I'm like in the proper OG cool magazine. This is like what everyone knows about in the embroidery world anyway. Like that's what all of the really good, respected embroidery artists have their patterns in there. So I did feel honored to be amongst them, like Trish Burr and stuff like that. So that was really nice
Yeah,
when they asked
yeah.
me.
The magazine that Trish is a regular contributor and you got to play in that field. That's fantastic.
Exactly. I was like, thank you. I'm allowed in.
Yeah,
Yeah.
the queen of needle painting. Yeah, and you get to
Exactly. Yeah.
Difficult to do that one. Did you know it was going into Inspirations when you designed it, or was that one
Oh.
you designed and submitted and so the work was done?
No, yeah, they dropped me an email, said, we'd like to feature you, and also, would you like to make a pattern? I was like, oh yes, please, I'll make a pattern. And I was like, oh, an Australian magazine, let's do a moth, like from Australia. That was my thinking. And I thought it was a beautiful moth, and it's a nice way to combine getting to embroider something I wanted whilst also honoring where it was, basically. If that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, as
Yeah.
a biology major, moths don't get enough credit for their beauty. So,
Oh my God,
yeah,
exactly.
it's always the butterfly, but there are a
Yeah.
lot, but there are lots of moths that are quite stunning. Yes.
Exactly. Butterflies are still in the spotlight. They're so greedy.
So okay. So we're going to start a club to support moth beauty. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They are beautiful, and I love looking at them. And people get really scared of moths, but then they're not scared of butterflies.
Yeah,
Yeah.
figure that out. Yeah. So
Exactly, exactly.
all right, you're designing this thing for inspirations. Was there a discipline to not get you in a, you know, not to overdo it, to stay within your own boundaries to come up with a design, or did you feel pressure to reach to a new level?
I kind of stuck to what I was doing with making my patterns, again trying to not use too many shades of floss, and I did want it to stand out as well because I knew it was going to be in the magazine. And so I did do a little bit of an experiment in the background by contrasting the really realistic embroidery with a kind of more simplistic stitch for the eucalyptus in the background. That was quite fun, like a little mini experiment for me and making it for the pattern at the same time, which I enjoyed, rather than just like I usually do, which is leaving the background blank. I wanted to have like a little filled background, but I didn't want it to be too much. Yeah.
I enjoyed that aspect of it
Thank
because
you.
it added an environment for the moth
Yeah.
that didn't overwhelm. It just did enough. I thought you did just enough to support it and to give something other than just white cloth,
Yes.
just enough. And then it was in the context, with the eucalyptus, right?
Yes,
Please.
yeah.
Yeah. So you had the right, nature context, but, no, I thought that was a nice touch, a nice little extra thing that gave
Thank
that
you.
moth a place to be. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it would. I wanted to add an element where the reader could really experiment, so they could follow exactly what I did with the moth. But perhaps for the background, they could go a bit experimental, use their own colours. Perhaps they didn't have to do exactly what I did. Perhaps they could fill in every single eucalyptus leaf. So there was definitely that thought process in mind of letting the reader be creative if they wanted to add their own little touch to it. I was very tempted to do it completely like white work, the background. But I thought it's not going to show up very well in the photo for the
Right.
magazine. But in real life, I thought that'd be nice. Like you look at it and then it's like a surprise. Oh, wait, the background's white work and it's got this texture of the eucalyptus. But I was very tempted to embroider it twice. But I was like, no, I don't have enough time, but I really want to do it
Now,
again.
what when you do that, and for anyone who doesn't know, inspirations, if you do any kind of needlework, even if you never ever ever do surface embroidery, and that's what a lot of it, what inspiration offers, but if you do needlework of any kind and are not subscribing to Inspirations magazine, you're absolutely missing out. It is just worth every penny. And I'm just going to do a commercial for them because the print magazine is absolutely worth having, but you can
Yeah.
also get a digital version, which is less expensive. But the print magazine is yeah, you'll get it and you'll keep them. The thought of throwing it away is just criminal. So, it just every what every 2 months, yeah, every 2 months. Well worth it. So when you put together that project, did you do the photography or do you just send them the piece and the instructions and let them have at it?
Yeah, so I kind of did the thought process, what I do for my own patterns, and wrote all the instructions out for them. And they changed them slightly to fit the format of their magazine. And then I sent them the hoop in the post. Took a while to arrive. We were a bit scared, like, where's the hoop? Oh no, it's lost forever. But yeah, it got there in the end. And I took some of my photos on my end, but whoever the photographer is at Inspirations Magazine does such a good job.
Yeah.
Like it's really like artwork at the photo. So I was quite excited when the magazine, this issue came out with my moth in to see the photos they'd taken of my hoop. It was, and they did such an amazing job. It was lovely.
Yeah, I'm a photographer too, and I have to say, whoever it is that they get to do their photography, that's a level I can't reach. Just, I mean, really, because so many of the shots I've done with, with a regular camera, digital SLR, not my phone, the hairs, the loose hairs on the threads and stuff, all kind of distract
Yes.
me. And whoever does it just really is brilliant at lighting it and getting the angles just so and making it look like the art it is rather than fuzzy thread. And yeah, I really admire their work. They're amazing. The other thing you have going, and what you the day we're recording this now, you just announced that people can sign up this Domestika thing. Tell me about
Yeah.
that. That looked like fun when you were doing it.
It was so much fun. Well, I was really scared at first because I got the message from them last year in like March, I think, saying, "Hi, would you like to come and film a video course with us, Domestika?" And I hadn't heard of them before, and I researched it, and they got, I was like, "Damn, they got millions of followers on Instagram. Like, this is a really big company." And then I looked at their courses, and it wasn't just that they were big, but their courses were good. I was like, wow, they have put a f I really respect people that put thought and detail and effort into something when they've really thought about who it is that's buying it. And I thought, yeah, I want to work with these guys because I think we're going to get along really well, and we're going to, I have a lot of respect for them. So I was like, okay, yeah, let's do this. Let's do it. I've never done a video course before, but okay.
Now I didn't do my job, and I, knowing I was going to talk to you and ask you about this, I should have done research to learn what Domestika is. But no, I didn't do that. So tell me, what is that? Is it online courses that you sign up for? How does that
Yeah.
work?
So it's a bit like Skillshare, I guess, if you've ever heard of Skillshare.
Nope, can't help you on that one either.
No. It's like a, how do I say this? So it's a website basically for craft and art courses, and you can learn how to do pottery and watercolor painting,
Oh, okay.
photography, social media, and they've got, so it's kind of for creative people,
All right.
the courses, and they so know that it's for creative people as well because they really put effort into how it looks, and they create a whole set for you for your style, and it's really good, and it's high class. It's up there. So I was like, yeah, I need my name with them. But they're
Yeah.
Spanish, so it's, well, I went and filmed in Spain. But they were expanding. They'd started off with just mostly people that were Spanish, and they were expanding to having English teachers and American teachers, and so I was really honored to be part of that basically, and
Oh,
that
so
they thought of
this
me.
is their initial English effort that you're part of?
Yeah, I think so. I hope I'm saying this right. Someone could be listening and be like, this is totally wrong, but
Yeah,
I'm pretty
we'll
sure
go
I'm
with your
right.
version.
Yeah, I think, and then they've just started to open, obviously because of Corona it's been difficult, but they're opening studios in England now, and they're expanding and growing their audience, and it's really good because they have translations in loads of different languages for the videos and stuff, so you don't have to speak Spanish to watch them because the translations are excellent. It's all really, I was just honored to be a part of it. And
So talk about that experience. That had to be in another, well, another world, but then for someone who started out wanting to do video and film, I'm sure for you it was as much torn between doing your job and wanting to see what they're
oh,
doing. Yeah.
that was so it though. When I got there, I told Ali, who is like the filmmaker of my course, and she was like, "Oh no, you like film? Don't judge me." And I was like, but it was great because we got along so well when I got there in Madrid, and I didn't. She, I didn't feel scared when I walked into the studio and I saw all of the lighting, and I had an understanding of it. I said, oh, what, like, I'd ask them questions. Should I do this? Because the lighting's not going to be good. And they'd be like, ah, Emily knows. I'd be like, yeah,
okay.
I got you. I got you. And I think that helped with some of the filming. But they knew what they were doing. It wasn't like I needed to know. But it was definitely really interesting to see the process. And they helped me gain so much more confidence in myself when I was there. They made me feel great. I probably left with like the biggest head. Literally, I couldn't get through any doorways. No, but they made me feel really good. And they said, Emily, you're good on the camera. Don't worry. You're very talkative, so we're not worried about you.
Right.
And so I was there for a whole week in Madrid filming, and they got the hotel for me and everything, so I didn't have to worry about that. They did the schedule for me, because I talked to the producer who was like organizing it. I felt very looked after, and I would love to go and film with them again if I ever had the chance. And I just want to see everyone that I filmed with, because they were so lovely.
Oh yeah, I'm sure you develop a real connection when you're that working that tightly with people for a week. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was great.
So they made it possible for you to be on-air talent and not have to worry about anything else.
Yeah, I just had to do what I usually do when I'm working on a pattern, just creating it. And I think the extra thing that I don't usually have to do is, because it was video and embroidery, as we all know, takes a long time.
Yeah.
I had to kind of be a bit like, how do I say it? I guess not everyone knows Art Attack, but you know, oh, I made this one earlier. I had to make I had to make 6 hoops of the of the embroidery finished at different stages.
Yeah, yeah.
To try and make the filming time shorter, because obviously I couldn't fit in actually embroidering the butterfly in the whole week that we were filming. So that meant for months before, I'd have to embroider the butterfly quite a few times.
Right.
And then, but then stop before it got to a certain stage. So it was all in different stages. So that was a bit challenging, embroidering it again, and a bit tiring doing the same design.
Well, because you can't vary much from what you're doing. Everything's got to look the same. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was good, and it made sense. I liked it. It was efficient, and it made sense when we were filming on the day, because it was really useful.
Wow, what a fun experience, though. Oh.
Yeah, it was good. I only saw the trailer this morning. It was kind of weird to watch myself talking, and but yeah. I'm excited, and I hope everyone likes the video anyway. And and I haven't done a video course before, because everything's usually through my digital PDFs, my digital tutorials.
Right.
So it's nice for people to actually, I guess, see me as a person rather than reading what I've said. They can actually see me. And again, it's that whole thing of talking to people like they're my friend. And it's always nice, isn't it, being actually shown?
Sure.
I think that'll be good.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yeah.
You do all that work over the years. Yeah, it's okay to share that stuff. Darn right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So this, now, when we're recording this, it won't be posted for 3 or 4 weeks after we record it. So this is for people who are interested, I'll put a link on the page for the podcast so that people can do that. But this is an ongoing course then that people can sign up for and watch at their convenience.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly it. They can, there's like, it's all broke down into stages as well. Oh, it's really great how they did it. It's very similar to my booklet, like how my brain works. Mm-hmm. And each video, you have like a little 10-minute clip. So you can just watch that, and then go, you can get on, make your dinner, do whatever you need to do with your day-to-day life, and then go back to the video whenever you want. And it's very easy to remember where you were, and it's all laid out really clearly. Like, I'm going to use their other courses on the website to learn, because it's all, I know how well structured it all is. I don't think I'd want to do a video course on any other website now.
Yeah. Well, it helps with those kinds of things to have people who can handle the cameras and the lighting and the mics and, and all the things. And you can just do what you do. If you're trying to make your own video, then you got to be light and sound production and everything else. And it becomes a real chore. So, yes.
Exactly. But it's given me the confidence. I've fought this for years, but it usually takes me a long time to get started on a project. But I really want to, after embroidering pet portraits for so long, I really want to teach other people how to embroider pet portraits, and perhaps they could make a living from it too, like I did. And I would now, after doing that video course of how to embroider a butterfly with Domestika, I would perhaps like to film my own course of how to do pet portraits. But who knows? I'll probably be like 40 by the time that comes out. I don't know. But yeah, I definitely it's something I really would like to do and sell on my own. And yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you can squeeze that in between midnight and 2 in the morning then. That'll work. Yep. Emily, really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. It was fun learning about what you do and how you do it. That's been great.
Oh, thanks, Gary. Thank you for having me. It's been
Uh-oh.
lovely chatting with you.
Appreciate the time. Now, when this gets posted, this podcast gets posted, we'll have announcements up till then. But the Sunday that it's posted, which is going to be sometime in February, late February, Emily is going to do a live show with us on the YouTube channel, on the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. So we'll get to see some of her work and ask her questions about how she went about it and how and get tips and all kinds of other things out of her. We'll just pick her brain for an hour. But
Yeah.
so we'll have a live video show the same day that this podcast is posted. Emily, thanks so much. Really enjoyed it, and thanks to everybody for listening.